100.3 K-Talk Podcast. Chris Baker, weekdays 7 to 11 a.m. on 100.3 K-Talk.
K-Talk. It is the Chris Baker radio program. Good morning to you. It's quite chilly and, well, I think you've heard the weather and you're quite aware right now on the phone with us. We're very excited to speak with our guest. Lloyd Chapman is with us. He's the founder of the American Small Business League. Their website, ASBL.com. Mr. Chapman, welcome to the Chris Baker radio show.
Thanks for having me, Chris.
Really appreciate your time today. I know you're on the West Coast, so it's very early there for you.
Yes. In fact, I heard your weather forecast was at 12 there.
You got to rub it in, don't you?
I'm in Palm Springs. It's going to be 77 here today.
Oh, you know what I would love for you to do today, just for just a moment, would you point your face into the sun
Yes. And
just soak up a little of that and send it to me in a little, karma kind of, thing. Just for a moment, think of us here in the Twin Cities and just soak up a little sun for us. Would you do that, please?
I will do that for you.
Well, we appreciate it. You're very kind. You're the American Small Business League. I was going through your website last night, and I am so glad to see someone who is looking out for small business. And the thing that that really caught my eye, two things. One, that you have obviously noticed that even though the government is supposed to do business with small businesses, they're finding ways to funnel that business to large businesses, some of them, in my opinion, campaign contributors, yet they are still able to say, oh, yeah, we're adhering to our standards. And I'd like to talk about that for a moment. The second thing is that you seem to be a little disappointed about a windfall profits tax on the oil companies that was brought up during the Obama campaign. I want to talk about that as well with you today. But let's cover small business first, if we could.
All right.
Now, how much is the government supposed to do business with small businesses, for people who don't know?
There's a federal law that says that the federal government should give a minimum of 23% of the total value of all government contracts and subcontracts to small businesses. But back in 2002, I was working for a small business, and we lost a government contract for $2,000 that was supposed to go to small businesses to a company in Amsterdam that had 26,000 employees in 28 countries. And
wow.
I exposed the fact that most federal small business contracts today go to Fortune 500 corporations in America and some of the biggest companies in Europe. So it's not happening. We think it's around $200 million a day and government small business contracts actually goes to large companies.
Now, who's supposed to be monitoring this besides your group?
Well, that's a good question. A lot of people. The Small Business Administration is supposed to be monitoring, the General Services Administration. I bet there's 1,000 people who are getting paid in Washington to monitor this, and none of them are doing their job. And unfortunately, it's fallen on the American Small Business League to be the, the police on the block here and enforce federal contracting law. But the really disappointing thing is we exposed this in 2002. There was a congressional investigation. There was a hearing. The General Accounting Office did an investigation. The GAO found, I think, over 5,000 large businesses were getting government small business contracts 6 years ago, and it's still happening. So nothing's been done. No legislation. Nothing's been done.
We're speaking with Lloyd Chapman. He's the founder of the American Small Business League, their website, ASBL.com. In my research on the president-elect, I'm noticing stories where certain things are disappearing from his website. And I see here that you have noticed that and I'm going to paraphrase here, but his commitment to small business has disappeared from his website.
Yep, he back on February 22nd, he made a statement of how important small businesses were to our nation's economy, and helping small businesses was part of their message for change. And he came out with a statement that says it's time to end the diversion of federal small business contracts to corporate giants. And that is now evaporated.
Uh-oh.
That is evaporated. I challenge anybody out there to try to find that on his change.gov website because it's gone. And, again, we're talking about, you know, this country's in the middle of one of the worst economic downturns in our lifetimes. A lot of people think we're heading for a 1929-style depression. I believe Alan Greenspan called it a once-every-100-years economic, you know, disaster. And 90% of the new jobs in America are created by small businesses. And here's our new president turning his back on a campaign promise that he made to, you know, not come out with a rescue plan, but just stop the fraud and abuse in existing programs that are costing American small businesses over $100 billion a year. It's very upsetting.
Now, am I correct that your organization, the American Small Business League, endorsed Barack Obama?
You know, we endorsed him during the primary, and we campaigned for him. And, you know, I used to get up at 4:30 in the morning to do drive-time radio shows on the East Coast for months. I would do like, you know, 8 a day. And I met him and talked to him briefly back about 4 or 5 months ago, and I was really impressed with him, and he seemed like a really great guy. But I'll have to say, when I look at what he's doing, I see a pattern. I see a pattern of him dropping policies that would help the middle class and shift, you know, money away from large corporations, and he's dropping all those. So he's dropped the windfall profits tax that would have funded a $1,000 per family emergency energy rebate. He's dropped this a commitment to end the diversion of government small business contracts to large corporations. And if you look at his new change.gov website, he appears to have dropped his middle class rescue plan and the small business rescue plan. And the excuse they gave for dropping the windfall profits tax, for example, they said they dropped it because the price of oil dropped. Well, the windfall profits tax came out on November 6th on his change.gov website, and they pulled it on November 8th. So I don't think the price of oil dropped so much in 48 hours. Right?
No, I have to. I want to say that Lloyd Chapman with us from the American Small Business League. I wanted to point out that you were a Barack Obama supporter.
I am.
Because of the simple fact that in talk radio, we're always accused of, well, now you're bringing all these guys on who are going to hate him anyway. And I bring that up because of the simple fact of two things. One, you're a man who supports him, yet at the same time, you're not so blinded by ideology that you will not criticize him when you believe that he has strayed from his promises. And I thank you very much for being a guy, because we've been trying to get people to come on the show and they just don't want to do it. I want to talk about the windfall profits tax. Don't you think that it should? I mean, personally, I don't agree with it. You know, I believe that one of the things about the oil companies that we miss many times in their coverage is we hear about profit, but we don't really cover profit margin. And I feel that sometimes by not covering what is their profit margin and issues like that, that the American public, when they jump on board to this windfall profits tax, that they really don't have all of the information. But when oil is now at $45 a barrel, mm-hmm. and now predicted that it could go down to as little as $25 a barrel. Mm-hmm. Is it really a good idea to still try to bring in a windfall profit tax, in your opinion?
Well, you know, let me just try to stick to the facts here so I can be more persuasive. I believe if you go back and look when oil was $20 a barrel, the oil and gas industry was making excessive profits,
mm-hmm.
what most people agreed were excessive profits. And I believe that right now, here in California, a regular gas is half of what it was this time last year. And I see a pattern, and I believe there's a pattern, where the oil and gas industry charges the public a disproportionate price for gas at the pump based upon what the price of oil is selling for. And let's just say this, when you talk about excessive profits and windfall profits, that's sort of a, you know, open for you know, discussion, right?
Yeah.
But I believe when the oil and gas industry is making the biggest profits any corporations have made in the history of mankind, I think that should qualify for windfall profits.
Yeah.
And I think that when, you know, Chrysler and Ford and General Motors are on the verge of bankruptcy because, you know, gas was hitting $4 a gallon and people aren't buying their cars, I think that's a problem. And again, I'm from Houston, Texas. My father worked for Shell Oil Company. You know, I've got lots of friends in the oil and gas industry,
right.
And I'm not against making money, but I don't think the oil and gas industry should have the ability and the power to help push our nation into a 1929-style depression. And I think they have that power today, and I think it needs to change.
Do you think that there should be some type of set limit on what a profit should be?
Well, to tell you the truth, I think that fuel and energy is so important to our country's security and our economy that needs to be regulated in some way, and we need legislation to prevent any industry from being able to damage our economy. I'm not an economist, but I believe that we're in this situation right now for two reasons: a lack of regulation in the financial industry and a lack of regulation in the oil and gas industry.
Interesting. All right. Could you hang on for one more segment?
Sure.
Oh, great. Perfect. We'll talk with Lloyd Chapman with us, the founder of the American Small Business League. We'll come back. We'll have another segment with him, and we'll talk a little bit more about windfall profits and oil and all kinds of great stuff. He, by the way, is in very sunny California enjoying some beautiful weather. So, but, you know, he's gonna get some sun karma and send it to us today. All right. Hold on here. Chris Baker Radio Program. 100.3 K Talk. Here's Roy Smith with your traffic.
Pretty slow traffic right now, heading from St. Paul's Midway over to Minneapolis. 94 westbound from Creighton to Riverside. Basically, you're going to average about 15 to 20 miles an hour. There's a two-car crash that's blocking the right lane on the Dartmouth. It's actually blocking the auxiliary lane. It was blocking two lanes. Well, now they've got that all over to the side, so traffic has eased up a little bit. But again, about 15 to 20 miles an hour through that stretch. Reminder, too, that in Roseville, the left lane westbound 36 is going to be closed again today between Rice Street and 35W until 3 o'clock this afternoon. From the Harman Auto Glass Traffic Center, I'm Roy Smith, 100.3 K-Talk.
The latest news is never more than a few minutes away from Fox News and 100.3 K-Talk.
100.3 K-Talk, Chris Baker Radio Program. On the phone with us right now from sunny California, Lloyd Chapman. Lloyd is the founder of the American Small Business League. ASBL.com is their website. And we're having a discussion about, Chapman is a supporter of President-elect Barack Obama. By the way, Mr. Chapman, around here when we hear Barack Obama's name, there's angels that sing. They just love him here. Watch this. Barack Obama. Unbelievable how it happens.
Well, that's the way a lot of people here in California are. Oh, yeah. He can do no wrong.
You know what I was reading, by the way, just kind of off topic here. In San Francisco, they're going to have a Barack Obama holiday tree lighting ceremony.
Yeah.
Now, this is, I got to tell you something, sir. This is really getting a little nuts, if you ask me.
Yeah, well, you know, let me just say this. I'm originally from Texas, and I moved to California, okay?
Right. Yeah. You can probably take over that place.
Yeah, it's funny. I've seen a lot of people that just, no matter what Obama does, it's okay with it. And, I'll tell you something. I think he needs to be managed. I really do. In fact, I had this, radical idea that the American people need to be more radical, and they need to respond more strongly when elected officials, don't do what they said they would do.
I could not agree with you more.
Yes.
I'm serious. Lloyd Chapman with us from the American Small Business League. All right, before the break, we were talking about windfall profits taxes on the oil company.
Mm-hmm.
We've had a lot of people call in and, of course, many emailers who are asking if you could define a windfall profit and why is it only the oil industry that would face such a tax?
Let me make one quick point here. The main thing that I'm concerned about is Barack Obama campaigned for 2 years on the idea of a windfall profits tax. He campaigned on it right up to the election. He put it on his website on November 6th and pulled it on November 8th. So what I'll talk about the windfall profits tax, but what I think is what we really need to talk about is, the American people voted for him. America's a democracy, and he won. And one of the reasons he won is because he said he would impose a windfall profits tax, and now he's gone back on it. And to me, that's the main issue.
Mm-hmm.
When we talk about a windfall profits tax, again, I did a talk show yesterday, and people were, talking about that. But I think that when a company makes more money in a quarter, in 90 days, than any company has ever made in the history of mankind. If that doesn't qualify as windfall profits, does I would like someone to tell me what would.
Well, but isn't that our system, though, that you invest and you work and you try to maximize a profit?
Well, you know, yes, but you can't maximize your profits, for example, by breaking federal laws.
Oh.
Or you can't maximize profits by being dishonest. You know, so it's, you know, it's a little bit more than that. But to tell you the truth, here's something that's really going to make me popular with the oil and gas industry. I think it's quite possible that the oil and gas industry may be guilty of collusion and price fixing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't, let's just say this.
Is that what you're talking about when you say that they may have broken some laws?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
For example, you know, I was listening to some of your ads there, and people are selling a variety of things, you know, in your community. But I think you'd probably find if you went to those stores, if you pick some commodity like vacuum cleaners, and you go to all the vacuum cleaner stores, they're going to all have different prices. But when you look at, you know, gasoline, you'll notice it's almost exactly the same. And I don't think that's a coincidence. I don't think it's a coincidence that all oil companies raise their prices, you know, almost at the same mm-hmm. moment in time.
Well, I would say the only difference is when you compare vacuum cleaners is that vacuum cleaners are of different qualities and different styles, and they have different attachments and options and things
same,
like that.
Let's say the same, you know, the same brand, the same model.
Right.
So that's going to have different prices around town. But when you look at fuel, you drive down the freeway, you know, you don't see that. But again, I could be wrong, but I just think that this industry has the power and the clout to do whatever they want to do. People out there, you know, don't want large corporations taking advantage of them. And they don't want large corporations influencing their elected officials and the president. And I think it certainly looks like that. Again, you know, it was on his website on November 6th. In fact, it was the number one issue under his economic programs. And it disappeared on the 8th. So I'm not buying anybody's excuse that he dropped it because the price of oil dropped. That just, you know, I'm not buying it.
You think maybe you could file a lawsuit to get your vote back?
Pardon me?
I'm just saying, you can file a lawsuit. I just want my vote back. I want to give it to someone else.
Exactly. But it's just not right. In fact, and again, I want to reflect on this is a pattern. This is not just on the windfall profits tax. He has dropped his commitment to restore $100 billion a year mm-hmm. in government small business contracts back to legitimate small business in the middle class. He's also dropped that. And the thing that concerns me is, you know, Barack Obama campaigned for 2 years on the windfall profits tax. Do you know who's been talking to the media worldwide about this from his campaign? Have you heard that?
Who's that?
An unnamed transition team aide. That means some 22-year-old, you know, kid who's volunteering the campaign.
Right, right.
So why is Barack Obama having some 22-year-old campaign volunteer speak for him when he's pulled one of his, you know, cornerstone campaign policies? I think that should get somebody's attention.
Well, I noticed that since elected, there are many people who are beginning to watch him and say, hey, wait a minute, he's changing his mind. You know, there was, I'm going to get the troops out of Iraq. Well, now that's changed. You know, some people are speculating that they're, well, there you go. That's what he campaigned on. Change.
I'll tell you something. Again, I'm, you know, I was a Obama supporter. And, I love that music.
Yeah, well, you know, he's quite angelic.
I want to get that and play it in my car.
No problem.
But, so everything's changed, and, you know, that's stereotypical. So Obama campaigned on the platform of change we can believe in, you know, change. He kept talking about, you know, when he was elected, we wouldn't have the same old cast of characters in Washington. Well, guess what, gang? Most of the people he's appointed are the same old cast of characters.
Right. You know, and what's amazing that you as a supporter and myself, I did not support Barack Obama. Yeah. In fact, I didn't really like any of these people in this election. I saw this coming.
Yeah.
And people said, oh, you're crazy, and this is what we need, a fresh start, a fresh look. And then, boom, from day one, we seem to have the third Clinton administration.
There you go.
So I find that quite uncomfortable. Well, listen, I'm out of time here, Mr. Chapman, but you know what? It's been great talking with you. We'd love to have you on again very soon. I love your perspective on American small business. I love your honesty in that you are not a Kool-Aid drinker. You want what's best for America.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
At least this is what I get from talking to you. You felt that he was what was going to bring what you thought was best for America. Now he's turning around and basically doing the exact opposite. And you're not afraid to call him out on it. And I appreciate that, Lloyd Chapman. Thank you.
Thank you, Chris.
We appreciate it. Have a great day. And by the way, don't forget, soak up some sun for us out there in California, if you don't mind. Good for you. All right. From the American Small Business League, it's Lloyd Chapman, ASBL.com. Thank you for your time today, sir.
All righty. Thank you.
Chris Baker Radio Program. Your news is next, and we'll take a look at, well, again, we'll get back into our conversation about Bond Automobiles. You can comment on Mr. Chapman. That'll be fine as well. And here is the lovely, incredible Danielle with your news.
Well, thank you very much, Chris. The latest jobless numbers offer dramatic proof that the country is sliding deeper into recession. Employers cut 533,000 jobs last month, the biggest number in 34 years. The unemployment rate now stands at a 15-year high, 6.7%. The news is sending stocks lower in early trading. O.J. Simpson learns his fate today for his kidnapping and armed robbery conviction in Las Vegas. His lawyer says the best-case scenario is 6 years in prison. Nevada State Patrol is calling for at least 18 years. Simpson is appealing. A Little Canada man faces up to 30 years in federal prison after admitting to answering an online ad for a babysitter, then using the two-year-old girl he was watching to make a pornographic video. Aaron Lemon could face more charges as St. Paul police look for more victims. And Governor Pawlenty hosted legislative leaders at a breakfast meeting this morning to look at ways to dig out of Minnesota's more than $5 billion deficit. Pawlenty says he's standing by his long-standing opposition to raising taxes, but DFL leaders wouldn't rule it out. Your Fox 9 forecast. Today, snow showers kick up this afternoon. It's going to be cloudy and cold. Highs near 20, though wind chills closer to zero. Right now, it's partly sunny and 12. Now let's check in with...
Chris Baker Radio Program. It's 100.3 K-Talk. So now people are calling in. They're very upset that we had Lloyd Chapman on. They're inquisitive? Well, what are they inquisitive about? Casey is taking these. Let's see. How can the guy support? Look, it's a different perspective. But here's the good thing. I would venture and go to this guy's website. I'm serious. You should go to the website because ASBL.com, the American Small Business League. Go to his website and just check it all out, all right? The guy, obviously, I don't agree with the windfall profit tax on oil companies, but he also makes some points that are certainly that should be considered. All right? Oh, and Casey's on his union break, he just told me. 651-989-5855. So you can comment on our guest also, and we'll have him back again, and maybe next time we'll just open the phones and you can ask him all these questions. I wanted to talk to him about the windfall profit tax. It sounds to me as if our guest is just believes that you got to make sure that if these guys are going to make their profit, no matter how giant it is, that they do it honestly. And I think that's, you know, that's his perspective, and we brought it out. So that's what we do. And here we are. It's talk radio. You know, not everybody's going to agree because that's incredibly boring. 651-989-5855. Also, here's what we've been talking about today. The government now says if they want to bail out, if the other industry, if the auto industry wants a bailout, then they're going to have to allow a government to tell them what to do. I mean, I'm paraphrasing, but that's really the point that we've reached now. Government, the current administration, the Nancy Pelosi's, the environmental nuts want to tell the auto industry that we'll tell you how to run your business. We will handle your overhaul. We will tell you exactly what kind of vehicles you can make, because this is what we've been hearing. And remember, our guest even brought it up. The campaign of change was all about alternative energies, you know, lessening our dependence on foreign oil and all that other bullcrap. Well, the problem is that oil is the most efficient way to run our automobiles. Okay? You can't, you know, ethanol, it's too expensive. Right? That's why you have to have government subsidies. So right now, for the best bang for the buck is oil. And until we find something else that will give us the same bang for the buck, then guess what? Oil's going to rule. And that's, of course, is a part of the debate that people sometimes don't want to focus on because, sure, it would be great. I would love to find a car that runs on nothing. I would love to find that car from Back to the Future that you throw beer cans and banana peels into it, into the flux capacitor, and you drive it off into the sunset. Of course I would love that. But right now we don't know where that is. We don't know what that alternative energy actually is. We don't know. And you know what else? The other thing is when somebody does figure this one out, they are going to make so much money, and it's not going to come from government. It's going to come from someone out there right now who is working on this for a profit. And that's the way I see it. And, you know, you can tell me where I'm wrong. And that's why I don't think the government needs to tell the American auto industry what kind of cars they need to make and how they need to do their business. Because remember, it's government that just built that visitor center in Washington, D.C., the Capitol Visitor Center that was, what, 5 years late and over $300 million over budget? These guys can't touch anything and not have it come in late and over budget. That's all they do is look at our deficit right now in the wonderful state of Minnesota. What is it, 4.2, 5.2? 5.2 billion. Why? Because these cats can't manage a budget. That's why. They don't know what to do with money. They don't know what to do with a surplus. They don't know what to do except buy votes. So there, 651-989-5855. So one of the things we wanted to talk about today is when you buy a car, if government starts telling the American auto industry what type of cars they need to make, can you imagine Barney Frank? Now, if Barney Frank starts telling them what to make, it'll be nothing but Suzuki Samurais and Subarus, Kia Rios. 651-989-5855. The auto industry, as you know, I think, needs to make cars that people think are really cool, and that's why they'll go buy them. That's what I believe, all right? 651-989-5855. James, you're on 100.3 K-Talk.
How you doing there,
Chris? Great, sir. Glad you called.
Well, I just bought a car about 2 weeks ago, and I didn't buy it for the fuel mileage. It's got a big V8 in it. I bought it because it fit my style and what I was looking for. Now, that's about all I was really looking for. I figured if I'm going to buy a car, it's going to be what I want.
One you like.
Now, what government says I should
drive. One you're going to like driving around, one that you're going to be able to look at your reflection as you drive through a strip mall. Absolutely. And say, man, do I look good in this.
Oh, absolutely. You got to appeal to the ladies out there.
That's right. There you go. See, that's it, guys. You're just as shallow as me. What'd you buy?
I bought a brand-new Pontiac Grand Prix GXP.
Whoa, very nice.
Leather and suede, all the little bells and whistles, a DVD player in it, and oh, yeah, I went all out. If I'm going to buy something, now's the time to do it.
Wow. Good for you. All right, thanks for the call there, sir. See, there's a guy just as shallow as me. What looks cool? What looks good? What fits your desire? That's it. And that's what you do, man. That's what business is. I mean, people go in the clothing industry because they feel, okay, I can design better clothes. I knew a guy who wanted, believe it or not, I met him in Palm Beach, Florida, dated his sister, just to be exact. She was hot, and so was I. Anyway, he wanted to design jeans because he felt that, guess what? I can design a better jean. So what did he do? He went to fashion design school, and he learned how to design jeans and make clothes and things like that. And guess what? Now he works for Calvin Klein. And in fact, when you look around town and you see guys wearing the loose-fit jeans, remember, those things have been very hip for quite some time. That was his idea. That's true. That was his idea. And Calvin Klein made all the money. But anyway, people invent a better mousetrap, and that's how they compete. It's not, well, we're government, and we think you need this. Because if it's government gets away, you'll just be riding a stinking light rail all day. And if you want to stop off on the way home for a drink or you want to stop off and get a carton of milk, well, guess what? Screw you. All right, 651-989-5855, Chris Baker Radio Program. Here's Brandon. You're on 100.3 K-Talk.
Hey, how's it going?
Hi, Brandon.
How are you doing?
We're great, sir.
Oh, that's great. Well, I was just making that, you know, comment regarding what you were talking about with the auto industry and asking for that bailout and the stipulations that would come with that. You know, basically the auto industry, they got themselves into this mess, and now they're looking for a bailout. And I basically feel like they have to take what comes with that, with those stipulations. You know, if the government's saying, hey, you want all of these tax dollars to keep yourself afloat, you have to come what takes with it. You know, it sucks, but this is the situation that the auto industry has found themselves
in. So you think that government should have some oversight?
Well, oh, definitely. If I was a person that was going to loan or give money to someone, you know, that, hey, Brandon, I need some money. Okay, well, that's fine. It's not my money, but it's money that I have control over. These are the stipulations.
Right. What areas do you think government needs to control if they were to give this money in to the auto companies?
Well, I heard you talking about, you know, the possibility of them sticking their nose. It's government. Government's always going to stick their nose in everything. And that's,
yeah, but I mean, if you believe government wants oversight, I'm glad you called with that perspective, because here's another example of giving us all something to think about. What areas do you think government, should government tell them what kind of cars to build?
You know, that's between those two parties, you know.
Right, but let's just go into fantasy world for a moment, Brandon. Can we go into, let's you and I go into fantasy world just for a moment, okay?
Yep.
Let's say that you are the guy in Congress. Let's say you're Congressman Brandon. And they say, Congressman Brandon, we want to put you in charge of the automobile industry, and we're going to give them this bailout. What areas would you, as a bureaucrat, what areas would you want government to get your permission to do stuff?
You know, it's really a tough call. The way I see it is, you know, if someone was willing to bail me out, I'd bend over backwards and show some thankfulness and whatever stipulations that they may come across.
But,
I mean, as far as the designing vehicles, that may not be the forte of the government, obviously, because they're not engineers. You know, they're not into that. They don't do those kind of things.
Right.
But as far as, you know.
So would it be maybe, would you want government to control salaries?
Well, I wouldn't want government to control salaries and stuff like that necessarily, but maybe, this is a bailout. It's, we're no longer, you have to kind of throw out the window the concept of how
of
the
freedom?
General markets work,
yeah.
and how, you know, capitalism works, you know.
Oh, wow. Okay,
well,
all right.
It's totally different because they're using taxpayers' money.
Right, right. All right. Hey, Brandon, I'm out of time. Listen, thanks for your perspective. Good to have you out there in the big audience. 651-989-5855. Roy Smith is here, and he has your traffic on 100.3 K-Talk.
And if you're heading from St. Paul to Minneapolis, good news, that accident did clear at Riverside. 94 now is flowing freely westbound between Creighton and Riverside. Want to remind you that both directions of 94 between Snelling and Lexington are going to close tonight through noon tomorrow. They're removing the Griggs Street pedestrian bicycle bridge crossing. And East 94 is closing at 10 with a detour to 280. West 94 closing at midnight with a signed detour to 36. Ramps between those crossings also will be closed until noon Saturday. Good alternate for you would be University Avenue or Marshall Avenue on the other side, on the south side of 94. From the Harman Auto Glass Traffic Center, I'm Roy Smith, 100.3 K-Talk.
Challenging the status quo with every show. Jason Lewis, this afternoon at 4, only on 100.3 K-Talk.
I'm good, Charlie. Naughty chair.
Show me the
money. 100.3 K-Talk is the Chris Baker radio show. I can't find it quick enough. Casey's yelling at me.
Where do you draw the line with our money?
It is not your money. In fact,
show me the money.
If anybody could have predicted,
money.
Yeah, it's their money, right?
Show me the money.
Of course. So bailout mania going on, and in front of me on several TV screens, the Congress hulls are all posturing and acting tough and poking their chest outs. And, of course, many of them, their chest is poked out because it's full of lobbying cash that came from the auto industry. And from what I understand, Franken ballots. So, by the way, Al Franken wants a forensic search for what they believe could be a missing 133 ballots. They want every single person who worked at a specific precinct. They need to be interviewed. They need to be grilled. They need to be searched. They need to be swabbed, DNA sampled, dissected, cut into, whatever. David Caruso is on his way in to act like he knows what he's doing and perform a forensic search. Gary Sinise on his way to search for Franken votes. That's what they want. That's what they need. And it's amazing because of all the other votes who have turned up, there's been not one peep of complaint from the Franken campaign. Now, something that doesn't go in their favor. Now everybody's having a geek attack. This is absolutely hysterical. So you know what that means. It's time for...
Welcome to another edition of CSI Minneapolis.
CSI, come in, over. CSI right here. Listen, we need you to search that poll worker for Franken ballots, over. They want us to search this. She's 97 years old, man. I don't care. I want her searched right now for the Franken campaign, over. All right, hang on.
Ma'am, they want us to search you.
You better get the hell away from me.
Sir, she's not going to cooperate. Listen, you're going to have to search the lady, over. Listen, sir, she's not cooperating right now. Lady, don't make me get... I'm getting a taser out right now.
You give me that taser! Give me that taser!
She's got my taser!
This has been another edition of CSI Minneapolis.
651-989.
I can't keep a straight face. It's a 90-year-old lady who just got tasered.
No, she took the taser and tased him.
Oh, okay. Wow.
Hang on.
God, she tased me, you jackass.
See, I told you. All right, 651-989-5855. See, she took it from him. The guy said, she's got my taser. All right. Anyway,
I T-voted. It's okay.
All right. You're good. Yeah. Back into the phone calls. Where the heck? What? I don't even know. Brian, you're on 100.3 K Talk. Welcome to the show, there, Brian.
Well, thanks for having me on. I just kind of wanted to weigh in on the bailout of the big three. You know, I've been kind of following this for a while, and to be honest with you, I'm kind of sick of everybody getting bailed out. I kind of wanted to give a counterpoint to a gentleman that just had on.
Yeah, we just had, let me reset for people who may have missed it. We had a call on from a guy who said, yes, the government needs to oversee the auto industry if they're going to bail them out.
I have to disagree with that. I mean, I could see them overseeing to make sure that they're profitable because obviously they're not being profitable, they're not running the business correctly for whatever reason. But to tell them they have to make a product that American people don't want to buy, it's not going to help them be profitable.
All right, but here's the thing I don't understand, though. You say you want government to oversee the, and I'm just playing devil's advocate here, but you want government to oversee the auto industry to make sure that they remain profitable, but government can't even manage their own budget. They're in debt. I mean, we have state deficits. We have federal deficits. These cats, they don't know how to manage a budget. So how could we possibly think that government, on one hand, that cannot manage its own budget would be able to manage the budget of a private industry?
No, I agree 100%. I really don't think they should be in there bailing them out, but if they are giving them money, the only thing they should be concerned about, are you making a profit? Not to sit there and get into their day-to-day task and to tell them how to run the business, but they should be able to check in and say, hey, you making a profit? Okay, keep going. If you're not, you need to make some changes. Other than that, they need to keep their hands out of it.
All right. And thanks for the call there, sir. 651-989-5855. You make cool cars, people will buy them. I mean, I'm a genius. I already have the perfect marketing plan for the auto industry. Do comparisons, spoofs. I mean, you name it. All right. 651-989-5855. Here's Ken. Hi, Ken. We got about 30 seconds. Go right ahead.
Hello?
Yeah, you got 30 seconds. Go, sir.
We all know that government doesn't run anything well, and it will lose money. The problem with government stepping in doing the and monitoring what's going on will be a bonanza for the foreign auto workers, because now they will step ahead and really sell more cars, and that's where the folks will go, because they're going to make the cars proper.
Ah, they'll make cars that people want, that they think are cool, and that's what you have to do. All right, more coming up. It is the Chris Baker Radio Program on 100.3 K-Talk.